Hi, besties, and welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens,
a show where we talk about all things drag because we are semi-qualified to speak on it.
I'm Juicebox.
And I'm Cynthia Kiss.
And welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens. Another week. It's Woo! Pride Month. Happy Pride. How are you?
Hi, gay. We're just two queens from different Canada's Drag Race seasons coming together weekly to fill your ears with content. And you're right, Juice. It's Pride Month. Are we feeling extra fabulous?
I feel like, and I don't say this in a bad way. It's like very, I think it's great. But I feel like this Pride, especially like June 1st, everyone's like doubling down on the rainbow, you know, like it's Pride. Like I noticed yesterday, I was just like, oh, wow. Like we're in it, you know? So it's either, I'm finding companies are either like doubling down on it. Like MAC Cosmetics, like really doubled down. If you saw their post, they did a whole thing being like, we are the OG people who, you know, defended drag queens and we will always defend drag queens. So I was like, period, love that. And then there's companies like based, like, I think the baseball, like, what is it? Okay. What is baseball? Like NBA? No, that's basketball. What's baseball?
Wouldn't it be like, start with a B?
BSA? I don't know. The baseball league. They had like a pride thing up for like an hour and then they took it down because of how many people were like so mad.
Lame.
Yeah. So I think it's either or now. It's like people are doubling down, going huge, going hard, or then they're just, or they're like being like, nar, people are too mean.
I hate the putting it up and taking it down. At least commit to it. Because if you signed off on that, that means you actually were going to make a statement. And the fact that it bothered some of your like core demographic, it's like the whole point of visibility is to like believe in, I don't know, these people. That's so disappointing. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I know what you mean. There are rainbows everywhere. I always feel like in Vancouver, our pride is later. So locally, like in Vancouver, we're almost not in pride mindset yet, but I see it online. I see it in different cities. I know there's prides happening. I'm actually in Winnipeg this weekend for pride celebration. So it's like, I feel it. I see it in the calendar. I love it. My bank account loves it.
Well, I was going to say for us, it's like pride. It's like pride starts June 1st and then goes until like October.
Totally. By the end, we're not, we have no pride. We're not proud.
It's like, I can't wear any more rainbows by October. I'm like, okay, like happy pride.
literally. Because you were at an event in Toronto yesterday, right? Was that pride affiliated?
Yes. I worked for the Rogers Pride event for their pride kickoff.
Ooh, come on. Mm-hmm. Corporate sponsor.
I did it right next to like all of their like radio stations. So like they were doing like, where like Ross and Mocha do it. And who did I work with? Damn It Maury. Do you know Damn It Maury? I didn't know them until yesterday. So it's fine. Cool. But really, really sweet guy, funny. We had a bunch of laughs together. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he was the host, but it was very corporate, right? It was very like it was one of those things where you're watching it, you're just like, they're like reading like here's what it means to do these things, and then like I was like the entertainment part, right? So it was very corporate event, you know?
Totally. They're like so by the book, and then you're just like, fuck the book. Let's have some fun.
At one point I got there and I went, can I swear? And the guy looked at me with like a big smile and just went, no.
So not fuck the book, F the book.
Yeah, F the book. And there'd be moments where I'd be on the mic and I would have to stop myself because if you guys haven't seen me live, I sound like a trucker. Like I've got a dirty mouth. I say a lot of dirty jokes. Like I try to be funny with it. I try not to be too offensive, but I do kind of, you know, play with the border sometimes. And I would literally be about to say something and I would just stop and just be like, I can't say that. Like I can't, I know I can't say that here.
I'm horny as a mother freaking...
But horny's fine.
Yeah, I don't horny's even know what flies. Yeah. Oh my God. So we're excited to hopefully see some of the SQ cuties out and about this summer. So stay tuned on our socials. If there's things that, you know, we're going to be in your city, we're touring girlies. So stay tuned. We'll always share it on social media.
Yeah. And if you want us in your city, don't forget to tell your promoters and message your promoters and say, you know what? We really want some semi-qualified girls to come to town.
An SQQ moment. It needs to happen. Maybe. Right?
And then it could be like SQQ and like each different pride color.
Such a branding. Yeah, honestly, maybe that'll be our that should be our secret tactic during Pride these months. Just be like, we'll to every hints. Promoter, be like, you know, I could come back with my super fabulous co-host and mm-hmm. we do a little podcast moment IRL.
I always say, do you want me but taller and prettier with a more feminine voice? You should hire semi-qualified queens.
Because you'll get it. You'll get it all.
You'll get that.
I love that.
Yeah.
Should we dive in, Juicy Poo? Should we get into this All-Stars 8, episode 5?
Mm-hmm. So All-Stars 8 still going. Darien Lake has fallen into the cool waters of Darien Lake, unfortunately. So sad.
Bye, bitch. No, I'm just kidding.
And that means our Canadian Queen Jimbo has officially won 2 times, which is so exciting, you know, to see Canada be represented so well. Because mm-hmm. for a lot of All-Stars, Canada is not represented very well.
Like, literally up until this point, Canada has been the sacrificial lamb at the very beginning of a season. Like, Lemon
went home. The sacrificial lamb of the first outs, like...
Yeah, we see the Canadians go all too soon typically, so maybe this is the turning of tides. Maybe the world is getting to see that us Canadian girls are just like extra nice, like hardworking, super sexy.
Great dancers.
Aside from Jimbo.
that was the joke, babe.
It's her Achilles heel, but we'll get into it.
We'll get to that heel. Yeah, we'll get to it.
So this week, we're playing the Snatch Game version for an All-Star season, which is actually Snatch Game of Love. Do you like this format?
I mean, like, it's hard to say. I think I do, because I love the Snatch Game. And I like that you get to kind of see a little bit more of the guest, you know, like they talk a little bit more. They're less of just like a funny talking head that says like one answer. But then it's like, I like when they're all together, you know, I like when everybody is in one thing. So if it was the Snatch Game of Love and everybody was there, I think I might prefer it a little bit more, but I'm starting to warm up to it. I remember at the beginning, I hated it.
Right. I know what you mean as far as not having the full cast out at the same time, because you lose some of the banter between contestants. I feel like it's very, you know, send it over to a queen and then the queen sends it back. There's never that interjection, because it would almost be a little rude to like step over someone's clearly prompted question.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, you're right. Although like I found, and we'll obviously get to it, but I found Heidi kind of was really good at that.
Yes. She was the only one that was actually playing, getting in there, interjecting. But we'll dive in. Tell me, who are some of our queens? What are they playing? What have they brought for this season? Very interesting, some of the character choices.
Yeah, I was a little confused. But so Lala Ri was doing Sukiana, who is a Real Housewife. Jessica Wilde is Iris Chacon. Is that how you say it?
Yeah. I think it's like Iris Chacon.
Chacon. Yeah. Yeah, I just don't. I want to make sure I'm saying it right. James Mansfield, who did Jennifer Coolidge.
Love. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Alexis Michelle, who did B. Arthur, which she's so smart for doing that. Kahana, who did Coco Montrese, which I thought we weren't allowed to do other drag queens anymore, but apparently not. Jimbo, who did Shirley Temple. Heidi in Closet, who did Blackbeard the Pirate. And Candy, who did Rana Gaziano, who I have not a fucking clue who that is. Not one clue.
Yeah, I didn't know Candy's character, and I definitely didn't know Lala Ri's character. I was familiar with Jessica Wilde's, I didn't know Blackbeard the Pirate's work intimately.
Oh, Renee Graziano, not Rana.
Oh, sorry. I was like in an airport.
No, that's okay. I said it wrong. It's Renee Graziano, and she is an American TV personality. She's giving me Housewife. She's American. She's an American reality television personality and author. She's best known as daughter of Anthony Graziano, the former concierge of the Bonanno crime family, and her roles in 2 reality shows, Mob Wives and Celebrity Big Brother. Okay.
Mob wives.
Awesome.
Okay, I feel like maybe we've talked about this because it always comes up with Snatch, but who would you play if you got the chance to do this?
Again?
For Snatch Game of Love.
Not again. If I did Snatch Game of Love.
Yeah, would that change your character choice?
I don't know if I've said this, but I think I would do Catherine O'Hara, but as Moira. Moira.
You do a good Moira Rose.
Yeah. I would either do that, or if I really wanted to take a chance, I would fall into my just Canadian hockey player bro voice and just be a Canadian hockey player.
Oh my God. I know, like Wayne Gretzky?
No, just like very like Letterkenny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I do it with Jackson all the time. It's just like a silly voice that we do with each other. But it's just like, if you look up like hockey bro TikToks, it's just kind of like a Letterkenny way of like hockey bro talking. And I think that it is very funny, but that would be my like risk it for the biscuit if someone else did Moira Rose. And then I would go home that week.
Oh yeah. Your other podcast.
Yes. Jackson, my other podcast.
When you cheat on me.
Yes, my straight, my heterosexual friend podcast.
If he wasn't so goddamn attractive, I think I'd have a problem with it.
Oh my God, he's so handsome. Remember when you met him and you were like, oh my God.
Yes, I think it was like half of why I wanted to go to Disney on Ice.
You're like, oh my God, he's just so cute.
Yeah, literally.
He is. Ugh. Anyways.
Truly. I like that choice. I really think I could fuck with Julia Fox. Like, I still feel like Julia Fox would be really funny. Like, really funny. Just get, like, she goes on all of her, like, mom rants. And she's just like, that's the thing. Like, I just don't care. Like, I don't know. I feel like I can.
Think it's a masterpiece. Yes.
Yeah.
I think you would win. Oh my God. Yeah, that'd be great. Oh, that'd be so good. I haven't seen her a lot lately. I wonder where she's been.
What do you mean where she's been? She's got her own podcast. She's doing lots of pop-ups. She's working. What else is she working on?
She hasn't gone viral again recently, which I miss her viral moments.
She's working on a book, which I am definitely going to.
It's gonna be a masterpiece.
Yeah. She's a cool cat. I actually think she's very interesting. Like the lore around her as a person. But yeah, so she's got her book coming out. So stay tuned. I don't know why I'm promoting Julia Fox right now, but I love her.
I mean, she's a millionaire, but it's fine.
Yeah, she needs it. She really, really needs it. But do we want to dive into our actual thoughts of round one of Snatch Game of Love?
All right, so for our first round of the Snatch Game of Love, we have Heidi as Blackbeard the Pirate, Jessica Wilde as Iris Chacon, Coco Montrese, or better known as Kahana Montrese, and James Manfield as everyone's favorite, Jennifer Coolidge. What did you think of this round? Oh, and the lover,
Matt Rogers.
Oh my God. I followed him immediately. I've seen him on Fire Island, which is such a good movie. If you have not watched Fire Island yet, it's excellent. But that man and his blue eyes, and he is a big, I don't know if I can say the F word. No, I'll say it. The big faggy Swifty. Oh, I love him. He is hot.
I saw them backstage at DragCon LA last year. They were promoting Fire Island, and I saw him quickly in person. He's very, very handsome.
Is he very tall? He keeps me tall.
Yeah, he's tall.
I also really liked what he was wearing. I would wear that.
Was like a cool puffer colored rainbow in like, I don't know, like monotone. So yes, he did a great job bantering. So let's break it down. Heidi the Pirate. It was a unique choice. I thought it was hilarious when her peg leg fell off and she was like,
jig is up.
The jig is up.
So I think she did it because her leg was falling asleep.
Yeah, something happened. And so I felt like it was a happy accident. I don't know if it was like actually by design, but entertaining nonetheless. I thought Jessica Wilde sounded like she was in pain the whole time. Like she kept making this wincing sound like a puppy when they're nervous or in pain. Like, it was like,
okay.
I was like, why are you hurting, girl? Like, it felt one note, and it was a strange mm-hmm. note to be. Kahana was just, it just wasn't rough. Happening for me. And James was fabulous.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I felt like the Blackbeard, when I first heard she was going to be Blackbeard, I went, this is either going to be so funny or just, like, the worst. And I thought it was funny. I thought it was kind of, like, middle of the road. I know a lot of people are saying, like, she would have won that week, like, da-da-da. But I was like, oh, I mean, it was kind of, it was middle of the pack for me. Like, it was funny. I thought she could really keep up, and she was good at bantering, and she had the jokes. But it wasn't, like, a winner for me, especially mm-hmm. with James Mansfield there. I didn't love Jessica's, but I think the only reason I didn't was because I didn't know who the character was, so I didn't get the jokes. But Rue liked the jokes, so she was obviously doing a good job, I guess. You know, but like, I think if I understood the jokes and understood the kind of thing she was going for, I think I might have enjoyed it better. But I was just kind of like, I didn't get it. Kahana, I just felt bad for her because you could tell she's not good at it, and you could tell she was trying so hard. Like, you could tell yes. she was balls to the wall, just trying, like, just wanted it to be so good. And I just felt so bad. But I'm happy that she was ugly.
It's when Rue asks, like, what color would your wedding dress be? And Kahana goes, well, I like a lot of filters. So it would maybe be peach or yellow or orange. I'd be orange. You could tell yeah. she was thinking her answer out loud. Like, yeah. she was not ready to talk. And it was like, yeah. okay, on you. It moves fairly quickly. Like, it's almost, the snatch game is actually, it's fairly real time mm-hmm. when it's like how long they're talking. That's how long each girl gets. So I technically think there's an advantage by sitting in the last seat. Because you get a little more time, which she almost did. She was second last. She had more time than Heidi.
And I feel like she, Brew was kind of handing her the answer sometimes.
Yes.
Like, giving her an easy question, because you know how you could always tell, like, the girls they want to have in the bottom and the girls they don't want to have in the bottom. You could yeah. tell they were, like, kind of feeding her, like, here's a good answer. Like,
just say, look how orange you look.
Just be like, look at a fucking orange my dress looks, bitch. Like, yes. great. It's one no, but at least it's kind of there, you know? But yeah, and then we get to James, which is, I will say this. So Jennifer Coolidge, and I've said it before, is a cursed character. Many first outs bring Jennifer Coolidge. Like, oh. James brought it, I brought it, Beth brought it, Soju brought it, and maybe somebody else. But they're all first out characters, right? So that's so why funny. I was just like, Jennifer Coolidge, cursed character. So this is the first time that I've seen
Jennifer Coolidge.
Jennifer Coolidge. So this is the first time I've seen, like, a really good... I know there was one Jennifer, I think, in Australia.
Yes, but it was in Australia.
Yeah, and it was fine. But this one is, like, she was incredible. Like, this mm-hmm. was funny, and it was on the nose, and it was just, like, she was able to take Jennifer and create jokes from it and not just recycle jokes from movies, which is probably yes. what I would have done, you know. Yep. So I just thought, and the look was funny, the constant lip gloss,
mm-hmm.
oh, just so good.
It was a character study. I would have loved to have seen James and Jimbo in the same panel to see what would have ensued. Like, it's almost as though it would have been like that. I think that would have been the match, the real head-to-head for me. Like, Alexis yeah. Michelle was great, but there was something about B. Arthur that had a... We'll get into it when we talk about round two. But yeah. with James, it was that over-the-top Jennifer, you know, character that just... I don't know. It would have been interesting to see that next to Jimbo's character.
Yeah, just to kind of, like, see how they would have interacted. I feel like Jimbo's was so overpowering, though, that it almost would have been, like, my seasons, where you would have got some people shining through a little bit, but Jimbo just... demolished.
Yeah.
Steam, you know,
when it's good, it's good.
Through. Well, I mean, and she's very good.
Yeah. Snatch game is a tricky thing. It's sorry to cut you off. Just to say, Snatch game's tricky. It's like, if once you start and you realize your character isn't funny, you're stuck. Like, you can't play anything else. So it's like, well,
really?
it's like, I guess I'm going to try and make this work. So, you know.
All right. So, well, since you mentioned Jimbo, let's just go right over to our next round.
You're getting so good at segues, Juice. Like,
but if you mention how good the segue is, it's not good anymore.
I'm sorry. I'll stop saying it. But it's okay. I'm just so proud. I'm just so proud. I wrote down that this round was better. I thought this was a stronger round across the board. I found it more entertaining.
I feel like it was the exact same as the first, where it was kind of like two people who were pretty, who were good, and then two people who weren't. So, you know, so, but they were better than the first ones, I say. So yeah, I'll give you that. So Bowen Yang is our next snatchler, and he is also from Fire Island. Very cute, very sweet little baby.
We had Alexis Michelle playing B. Arthur. We had Candy Muse as Renee Graziano. Not Reina. Renee?
Renee Graziano.
Graziano. And then we had Lala as Sukiana and Jimbo as Shirley Temple. Obsessed. So deranged. So deranged.
So fucking deranged.
Okay, talk to me. What were your thoughts? You watch round two and you're like, you thought it was the same. I thought it was stronger.
I would say it was slightly stronger, but pretty much the same. Like, you get B. Arthur with Alexis Michelle, which is why I'm saying it's so smart is because it's catering to Rue's comedy.
Yes.
Because she's older. She's from the Golden Girls. She's kind of got that like slow, dry humor that Rue loves. So Rue's beside herself, right?
And she nailed the voice.
Oh, and she nailed the kind of like dry kind of aspect to it. So she was incredible. I thought she was hilarious. It was great. I thought it was a great choice. And then Candy just felt really flat to me. It was just, there was no funniness. She was just kind of like a mob wife without a joke.
Yeah. I think she got a couple in there, like a couple quick one-liners, because she can give that like, stupid whore. And the way she says it, it can make the room laugh. Like, she does have that way of just existing and being funny. But I felt like it was almost just an extension of things perhaps we've already seen from Candy.
Yeah.
I'm just worried about Candy. I feel like she's kind of fading this season. Like, there's times where I'm finding myself forgetting about Candy, which is wild because she's such a big personality.
But I think on her season, Candy was such a like point of contention where she was like kind of painted as this like sort of villain character where she was fighting all the time with a bunch of girls and everybody always had it out for her. And it was like, she was struggling on if she was going to get sent home, if she was going to win a challenge. Like, I felt like she was almost like very main character energy with her season.
See?
And now this one, I feel like they've kind of already given her that arc. So with this one, you've got, it's an all-stars, right? It's like the big fish, small pond. Right. So I feel like everyone kind of has those big personalities. So you just got to share the airtime. So I feel like they're just not kind of airing those big Candy isms. But today we got a lot of the fight, at least.
Yeah. Aside, but it kind of dawned on me this episode because I don't know if we're halfway through the season, but we're episode 5. And I just feel like we haven't seen as much of Candy as I'm used to.
I know. I think we'll get more.
Hopefully.
And then we get to Lala, who's Sukiana, where it's just like, I thought she was funny. I did. But it just kind of, it did feel a little flat to me. But something I want to bring up with Lala was that I feel like this episode, we finally got to see how funny she is outside of the Snatch Game. I thought she was funnier in her confessionals, in the workroom, on the runway, putting the lipstick in the thing. Like, she had so many funny moments where I was just like, we are not giving Lala Ri her flowers on how much of a fucking jokester she is, because she is hilarious. But in the Snatch Game, I thought it was just kind of like fine.
Truly. And I think sometimes there is a difference between like someone who can be funny playing a character, and then there's someone who's funny just like existing. And maybe Lala, she's the latter. Like, give her a room and she'll fill it with like fun energy, like silliness. And that's where the laughter comes from. Not a character study. Because I felt like Sukiana just, it just wasn't enough.
Well, she's never done Snatch Game, right? So
yeah, maybe that's why.
You know, she didn't really know what to expect. So I think for her first Snatch Game, good job.
But I like how you called out that she was funny the rest of the episode, because it's true.
So funny. I was just like, oh my God, what is it? Like, I'm giggling and stuff. And I'm just like, why haven't they been showing how funny she is all season? You know,
the bit with Jimbo cleaning her titty bib and she's like, got the white man cleaning for me. It was funny. I like
when she put the lipstick inside the box and she said, I'm stealing this just for that. And she like stole something from the ladies' room.
So good. Too good.
Good. Yeah. And then we get Jimbo, who, again, gave us a masterclass in fucking Snatch Game. Just unhinged.
Yes. And I go down to character choice. Shirley Temple is a choice you don't see coming, and a choice that, like, just by choosing is funny in itself. Like, Jimbo is, I don't know how old biologically, but to be playing this, like, child actor from like the 50s, 40s, 30s. Like, I don't know how old, but it must have been the 30s because she said, like, I'm 100 years old.
Yeah. It literally looked like Shirley Temple as an weird old man. Like, it's just
the tight, tight, tight little curls. It was so weird and funny at the same time.
100 years old.
And that tickles Rue's funny bone from the jump. You can tell Rue was just giggling, looking at them, because it was like, what is in your head? Like, what are you gonna say? Because you chose to do this. And then she gets up, she tap dances in this like sporadic crazy way. It's like,
oh my god,
to me was so funny. I love how Jimbo is not afraid to be ugly and unflattering at all times, because it just makes the comedy, they go there, they take it to that level where they're not worrying about anything but like getting the joke and being over the top.
Well, you could really see the, like, clown training in this.
Yes, absolutely. Like,
especially in the dance. And I'm going to say it. This was the best dancing Jimbo's ever done. And she should have done this on the main stage.
I know. Be a little tap dancer. Channel
if
your
she
Shirley.
Did this stupid Shirley Temple tap dance during Dua Lipa in this episode, Rue would have been on the floor, sweatpant legs in the air. Like, I would have howled. It would be so funny. I'm sure maybe she'll do it one day, because I guess she'll lip sync just the rest of the fucking season. She keeps winning.
Do you know how Brooke on her season revealed ballet point shoes? Like, she ripped off a cut. It was like a reveal of footwear.
Oh my God.
Jimbo should reveal little Shirley Temple tap shoes. And then just start.
And the wig is the stupid Shirley Temple wig.
Oh, that's a reveal too. Like, take off bigger hair to reveal the tiny curls and the tiny tap shoes. Oh, Jimbo, if you're listening.
Jimbo, you've got to do it. I'm going to text her and be like, Jimbo, I'm sure you have 5 million messages, but please, if you are at the finale, do this. all right.
So we kind of had winners per round. Do you think that reflected, like, was that Matt and Bowen's way of saying, like, I think James did the best. I think Jimbo did the best.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I thought it was super fair. And overall, entertaining. Good job, ladies of All Stars, season 8.
So then after we go... we gotta get the sound delay off of that.
I can't find that one.
So the next day we go, it's a new day in the workroom, and we get a lot of mirror chats this episode. So we're gonna kind of go over those. So first we kind of get a fight between Kahana and Heidi, where Heidi is then being confronted about bullying her, or like kind of teasing her in the Snatch Game of Love.
Remember how Kahana was kind of on the struggle bus? And then Heidi was like, there's the joke. You finally got it. Like, you finally said it in
but
Blackbeard joking way. Like, she was using it through her character. Like, Blackbeard was making fun of Coco Montrese, whereas Kahana was feeling like Heidi was personally attacking Kahana, which I get it, but I think she was in her feels.
Yeah, well, you're in the Thunderdome. Everything is heightened, you know? Yeah. So I get why she was probably upset. But for us watching, it didn't look like that, you know? It looked like Heidi was playing the game. And Kahana, I think, just got a little bummed mm-hmm. about it, which is sad because I thought Heidi, if anything, I thought Heidi was throwing her a bone.
Yeah, like there could have been a moment there where Kahana could have turned around and turned it into the infamous like Coco and Alyssa fight. Like that could have started with that little bit of tension. She
fuck
could have
you, Blackbeard. Yeah, imagine. Yeah. Yeah. Like, that would have been just, wow, like, yeah. so good. Like, gets up and does the whole thing. Like, yeah, that's so smart. Yeah, no. So I think she was throwing her a bone. So it was a bummer that she kind of had that. And you could really see Heidi, like, kind of, like, it was tearing away at her. Like, she was just, like, feeling. And Heidi's such, like, an effervescent, happy person that it feels weird to kind of see her be really sad. Mm-hmm. And then Candy decides to turn it around. So, you take that one.
It's Heidi gate. Like literally once Kahana kind of opened the floor to talk about her feelings towards Heidi, we wrap that up, understand it. Candy goes, actually, I have something to say. You've been shady behind my back. And all of a sudden it's like this smackdown on Heidi where Candy feels like Heidi's been talking around Candy's back, saying, letting Jimbo know, like, Heidi's saying to Jimbo, watch out for Candy. Like, she's going to send you home because she thinks you're mm-hmm. a threat. I mean, low-key, everyone does. If you keep winning like that in All-Stars, yeah. it's kind of just
like
the nature.
It's not a secret.
It's not a secret. So mm-hmm. the way it was all going down, it was a little, I don't know. To me, it feels like it's just the nature of the game. But my mm-hmm. favorite part was when Heidi called it over to Alexis Michelle because she was present for the conversation between Heidi and Candy.
And Alexis was like, whoop.
I feel like Alexis Michelle is a very strategic person in life. Like, she likes to think about what she's going to say and do at all times. So to mm-hmm. be put on the spot like she was, she just at first agrees with Heidi and is like, yeah, Candy said that. And then Candy fights back. And then Alexis goes, yeah, you didn't say that. And it's just flip-flopping like a pair of Havanas. Like, it's just... She's not keeping her story straight either. And so it just all of a sudden became this huge kind of kaboom. Mm-hmm. And then we have Heidi throw in the towel and just say, listen, Jimbo, if you win this, just pick me. I want to go. Like, I'm over this. I'm O-V-E-R it.
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy.
Yeah. yeah.
She, just then and there.
And then she pulls the ISIS and mid-brow block. Gone.
Yep.
Gone out of there, which is like such a bummer.
You know? Gahana.
Gahana Mantra. Shut up. Shut up.
Shut up. Enough. You stupid Enough. Little bitch. You Get stupid out. Little bitch.
Absolutely devoed with that joke there. Absolutely devoed.
Well, I'm absolutely devoed that Heidi just is gone.
Me too. It was a bummer. And it's sad to see someone, again, like who's so... fun and happy just looks so defeated. And you could even see like when Candy and Alexis like went over and like in they brought the cameras out into the hallway and were like, you could tell that they were like, babe, like we can work through this, like it's not that serious, like if it means yeah. you leaving, we'll get over it, you know, like you could tell that they were like, we can move past this if it yeah. means you stay, like this is just a TV show, like you could kind of see the wall break down.
Yes.
Which I loved. I love.
I love BTS. The fact that they were filming that in the hall. I was like, yes. Outside the soundstage.
Like, and you could see the door going outside and that it was like broad daylight. I was like,
The COVID protocol sign.
Masks on everyone. You could see a producer's arm.
Literally.
But yeah, so she decided to protect her peace and mm-hmm. she had to make the decision. And she said, and she was happy. And it was... What's nice about it is that she said, I did everything I needed to do and I can't stay here, you know? Yeah. So good for Heidi.
Good for Heidi. Know thyself. At the end of the day, mm-hmm. if she can go to bed at night knowing like she was happy with that decision, that is what it is.
And you know what else is good for you?
AG1. Yeah. Athletic Greens.
I'm glad
SQ
you caught it.
SQ Cuties. We're, again, so excited to talk about our partner for the podcast this week. It's AG1. You've heard us talk about it for 2 weeks, and we're going to keep doing it because it's that delicious. It's a nutritional drink that I take every day because I want to make sure I'm getting all my vitamins and nutrients. And it's in one simple drink. My day gets busy. I'm booked. I'm blessed. I'm traveling for work. So the fact that all I have to do is one simple little scoop in my water bottle, shake it, and I'm getting all my vitamins, I couldn't ask for something simpler. I love it. I love AG1. Mm-hmm.
It has made both of our lives so much easier with getting all of our nutrients in just right at the beginning of the day. Super exciting. So big love to AG1. Don't forget to get yours today. And it comes with that cute little glass bottle, which I just love.
The glass bottle is super cute. And look, I've got one right here. The travel packs, y'all. The travel packs are where it's at. You, when you're traveling, you're eating fast food. You're eating weirder. Mm-hmm. You're eating weirder things than perhaps you normally would with less nutrients. And so this is just kind of my way of making sure things stay regular. You know, like the insides are as happy as the outsides. I swear my skin is glowing. I swear.
I mean, maybe it looks like it. Look at mine. Glowing.
Maybe it's just because I turned off the air conditioning in my hotel room to record my episode, but I'm glowing. I'm dewy. I'm very dewy.
I left the door open for my dog to be able to go in and out today, and my entire house is very warm. So maybe that's the dewy, but I think it's AG1 Athletic Greens.
Hey. Why don't you, SQ Cuties, find out for yourselves? If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. These little travel packs that I'm talking about right here. Go to athleticgreens.com/SQQ. That's athleticgreens.com/SQQ. Check it out. It supports us and it gets to support yourself, your life, your well-being, your nutrition. Your wellness. You're welcome.
So we're going to make it over to the main stage now. Woo! And RuPaul comes out full Pride Month. I would say it's like Pride Month meets Americana because it almost looked like an American flag to me. Doesn't it?
I saw colors and I wrote gay pride. it's kind of Americana.
It's purple champagne, red, like a dark burgundy, cyan, and then I would say like a deep navy blue.
Ooh, come on, arts degree.
Oh, yes. I gave you full color theory there.
You gave me nuanced colors.
Oh, yes. Oh, then I would say it more of a burnt umber for the orange. Got it. And more of like a deep lilac.
Okay, now you're just showing off.
So that's what Rue's in. She looks great. I love when she's in a Scoochie Woochie. Love when she's in something short.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Michelle. I can never say that. It's like a tongue twister. Michelle Visage. She's there. Forgot what she wore. And then we've got Ross Matthews.
She's just in kind of like a scoop neck silver with a she's really, really embracing that like gray streak now. Like it's starting to incorporate a lot into the rest of her hair. So she's got a bun with a gray braid. It's like a gray and black braid around it. The hilarious Roth Matthews is in a kind of like leopard print.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the hilarious Top Matthews. And then we have both of my boyfriends.
Oh, my God. You should be in a throuple with Bowen and Matt. I could see that.
Oh, Bowen and Matt and me and our throuple would just be so beautiful. We could go to Taylor Swift concerts. We could cook beautiful dinners. I would get to just like snuggle right in the middle. It would just be so nice.
I love how they sat together very close, like an old school panel distance, like back in the day pre-COVID, because they almost are just treated as one special guest this entire episode.
I agree. It was super funny. And
you know what they say? Yeah. Two gay celebrities is the equivalent to one female pop star.
And if you're a drag queen in your mind, you are just a female pop star. So, I mean, because there's welcome two gay world. People in you, you know?
Like, literally.
Shine. There are two wolves inside of you. They're both gay.
And then we find out that the category for the runway is reveal yourself. I wonder if there's going to be some reveals.
Imagine there's just none.
That's what I would do.
There was a moment where I thought Kahana wasn't going to reveal anything, but we'll get there. She very much did. So
we start off.
Yeah.
We start off with Jessica Wilde, and it's an egg, or it's like a chicken themed look from her original season. She iconically played like a yellow chicken. So she takes off the first, and then it's an egg, and then the egg cracks. And the final piece was actually really adorable. I feel like you could wear that to a brunch.
Yeah, you could, actually. It's very much a brunch outfit.
It's such a brunch outfit.
It's such a brunch outfit. You're right.
It very on the nose.
I felt like she's had nicer things, you know? Yeah, I've been more impressed. It was like a fun kind of campy moment, but I've liked her other stuff a lot better.
And then we had Kahana Montrese. It was very showgirl, very beautiful, well executed. And you're right. At first, I was like, what are we going to take off? You're wearing so little clothing. And she went, ah, but there's less. And she really, really gave it to them. I don't understand. Was that like an ass crack jewel? Like, how is that?
Have you never seen those?
Like, break it down for me. Like, I haven't.
So what they do is you tuck, like you take your tuck back.
Yeah.
And then it's basically like, it's almost exactly like the tape tuck, but it's like a jeweled piece that you like stick onto the front of your tuck. You put it through your legs and then you put it through your butt cheeks. And then it sticks to almost like the top of your butt cheek.
Got it.
So if you look after the reveal, you could see like a little shimmer above her butt cheek. It goes right in between almost like a thong. Well, and then,
like above the ass crack because it's through the middle, right? Like a cheek would be
off. Yeah, it's right through the middle. Sorry, did I say cheek? I meant crack. So it goes right through. And then, so a lot of the times, like I know Sasha Colby does it a lot. I know a lot of trans queens do it where they do just like the nipple pasties. If she would have turned around, I don't think she could because of TV.
Right.
But if she would have turned around, you probably would have seen like some kind of beautiful adornment in her like kind of like crotch area. So those happen a lot. I don't see them a lot in Canada, but I see them a lot in the States.
Work. Next
it
we
was
had
beautiful.
Next we had James Mansfield rock down the runway. And I love when they use puppets because that's true to James, even if they couldn't see. And it was a little Holly Hobby on the runway.
It was a little Holly Hobby, I agree, but it was fun that it was a puppet.
Mm-hmm. And the reveals kept going. It started to give me like juice box energy, like a reveal striptease number, right? Like a striptease. I feel like this would be such a fun number, even with the puppet at the beginning, and then you just keep revealing, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like she could do this as a show, like striptease number, and make it like kind of funny in camp, like even if it was just like trumpets, like blah, 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 I would love it.
So fun.
Okay, so next up we have Candy, and she kind of does this like sort of 50s waitress moment, or like 50s housewife kind of mom. I thought it was super cute. I did not see the reveal coming at all, where she goes from this like 50s housewife, like floral thing into this like beautiful, beautiful red gown.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I thought it was gorgeous. And the fact that all of that billow stayed up in the gown, I thought was really smart in the construction. I wish she was cinched a little bit more. I felt like it was kind of flat, but then when it revealed into that like kind of like space age thing, then it made more sense.
I'm just here for that center front bar reveal. Like when you pull out that bar and it just like pops, explodes open. It's so fun.
It's like a very classic burlesque trick.
It's so beautiful.
So sexy. You should try it. I think you would be able to do something really cool with it.
100%. 100%. I want to do it. I feel like it's time. But I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I felt like the red piece wasn't fitting perfectly. So the fact that it was a mid layer made a bit more sense. I thought it was going to be the final reveal. And I was like, why isn't it tighter? And then she took it off. And I was like,
that's why it's not tighter. Lala did this like purple kind of bodysuit reveal. I thought the bodysuit was really fun and cute. But the reveal itself, I thought, was just a sheet.
It truly was. It was just a piece of fabric.
Yeah, like that's all it was. It was very when Alaska did Little Pound Cake and she just came out in a garbage bag. And then revealed in Little Pound Cake. And the only reason you didn't care that she was just a garbage bag was that she came out as Little Pound Cake. But yeah, this one just didn't have that. Like she just spun out of something. And I mean, it was a reveal, so it's not like it's wrong. But anyway, she looked pretty in purple.
Yeah, it's a great color on her. I just felt, compared to others, where it's like you couldn't see what was underneath Candy's one very well-constructed piece that came off, we knew Lala would not be finishing the runway with that piece of fabric. It was like, okay, that's coming off like pretty soon. So, but, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Different strokes, different folks. And then we go to, speaking of different strokes, we've got Jimbo coming out as Adam and Eve.
Bitch, this face mold, the fact that they actually like molded their face, mm-hmm. I could tell like it looked like Jimbo. Like they really.
Have you ever done a face mold?
No, I feel like it'd be terribly claustrophobic.
So I went to makeup school. So I had to do, I was trained in like face molding and like body casting and stuff because I'm a special effects artist as well. It is the fucking scariest thing you will ever do in your life. They physically have to have someone stand and hold you or like hold your hand or touch you, because if you are like someone who feels like you may get claustrophobic, if no one's touching you at the time, that you risk peeling it off your face and like suffocating yourself.
Yeah.
Because the only way you can breathe is through two tiny nose holes that one person is designated to constantly be pushing to make sure that they don't close up. Like that's their only job, is to make sure your nose stays open for you to breathe. It is so scary. I hate doing it. So Jimbo's very brave.
Yeah. All the more reason, right? Like to love this look, is it's the time and energy that goes into it, because that was a custom mold of their face. It just makes it that much more impactful. It's like when Pythia did it on my season, like the second perfectly matching head is so much more impactful than just like a random mannequin face. It just takes it there. It's world class. And I love this
reveal as a snake.
And this, yes, exactly, popped out of the apple. So funny. I loved it. I thought it was really cool. At first, it was kind of tripping me out. I thought she had a mask on, and then I realized that they were walking backwards. And it was one of the looks that it needed a second for my eyeballs to connect to my brain, which is always a good sign.
Yeah. Well, it's one that definitely kind of like, it hurts your head a bit. Like, especially like how she was walking and the way she put knees and feet on the back of her to make it look like he was fully another person attached to her. It kind of like hurts your brain to look at it, but it was a really cool look. And then we go to Alexis Michelle, who is wearing a look that she actually went viral for years and years ago. Do you remember this?
No.
So this look, I remember she was one of the like, kind of like one of the OG drag queens to go viral for a look. And this is right before she went on Drag Race. I remember it was her, and she did this exact same kind of look on top, and then she spins out of it, and it's like a big yellow ball gown, and it's for an Into the Woods number.
Oh, it was yellow originally.
It was yellow originally. So when she came out in purple, I was like, oh, she changed it. I loved when she did the yellow. I think it was yellow or white, but I this was also years ago I'd seen this, but I think it was an Into the Woods number. And this was one of the first times I ever saw Alexis Michelle, was when she did this. So when I saw her come out with this mask on and all this, I got really excited because I was just like, oh, I know exactly what she's going to do. And it's cool as fuck.
It was like the personification of that optical illusion cartoon where one direction it looks like an old lady and then you turn it upside down and it looks like a beautiful young woman. It's like that down the runway. I would have loved to have seen it in a brighter color. I don't always agree with Ross Matthews, but in this case, because he mentioned the dark color, it made it less of a contrast. I feel like the bright yellow would have been like, I'm a youthful, beautiful woman. Hiding underneath
that. Well, that's what it was when you first see it. And she was, I think maybe to fit the kind of creepy woman theme, because she goes from creepy woman to creepy woman.
Oh, I guess. Okay. And then how come only one eye contact was white?
Because as a creepy woman, one eye was white and one eye wasn't. So I think that translated. I think maybe that's why she went with the darker outfit. So she creepy woman and then pretty lady with one white eye, you know? So I think maybe that's why she made that decision. That's just me inferring that information, but
well, may it cost her the win. No, I'm just
kidding. Oh my god. So much for that win there, Alexis. Oh my god, we didn't talk about it. Alexis bursting into tears out of nowhere.
Yeah.
The dramatics. I loved it.
I know. I can't tell if that's like undiagnosed, like narcissism, like moments where it's like things are like she's feeling it. It really in her world, it's happening to her the most. And it's like, I don't know what it is. It's starting to make me laugh. And I think she kind of knows. She's just a theater girl.
She has to be dramatic.
Yes.
No, I loved it.
Yeah. Her crying for no reason was kind of, it's very Alexis at this point. I kind of loved it.
I loved it.
Did you see her post on a social media where she ate a bagel and started crying like an Untucked?
Stop.
She does at first. She just like, it's a regular her out of drag video. She's like, this bagel is so good. This bagel is just like, so good. So I feel like I think she understands now that perhaps it's funny to laugh at herself a little bit, which I appreciate. Yeah.
I think she's got a good sense of humor. She makes me laugh.
She took off the DeLulu lemon.
I mean, I think she's still DeLulu, but I think she just knows she's DeLulu now, you know, yes. And embraces it.
Yeah.
So our winner this week is our Canadian sister, Miss Jimbo. She has conquered once again. So is this her third win now?
Yeah.
Wild, babe.
5 episodes, 3 have been Jimbo's.
Eey.
Win.
Eey.
Wow.
That's big.
I don't want to jump the gun, but all these lip syncs.
Ooh, woof, woof.
But it's It's your favorite part. We get another lip sync assassin. Who are we graced with the presence of?
So our bottoms are Jessica Wilde and Kahana Montrese. And to determine if they are going to be sent home, we have Miss Jasmine Kennedy, the nicest person you will ever meet in your life.
Good time gal.
Sweetest little bean. Such a good performer. I was elated. So excited to see Jasmine on there. I didn't know that she was going to come out. So I was really excited.
Me neither. It's never a bad day, whether in person or on my screen, I'm seeing Jasmine Kennedy. She's just a ball of energy. She's just so fun. And I felt like the very first time I met her, we obviously were like mutuals and like watched each other's seasons. And she was one of those queens that just, we acted like besties right away. And it felt genuine. It didn't feel like a fake thing. And I've just really loved her. We have to have her on the podcast. I feel like she'll have so much to say.
Oh my God. We wouldn't say a word. It would be perfect.
Yeah. Oh my God. Where we want to take a break.
I think I would disassociate, you know, I'm honest to God. I think I would disassociate. I think she would talk so much, but I'd be so happy. Cause I love her. I think she is just how anyone could ever not like Jasmine Kennedy blows my mind. I think she is the nicest person in existence. I love her.
I agree. And she killed it. She killed this lip sync. She killed it. The backflip into the splits.
But it was like a backflip and like a, am I gonna? I'm gonna kind of split. She did the funny, like Dua Lipa thing with her hip. Mm-hmm. She looked pussy.
Mm-hmm.
The face, pretty. The body, the outfit, everything about it.
The gold chains just like dangling around the rib cage. It was really, really pretty. She did a great job. And, Jimbo.
Oh, I love my sister.
It's so funny this format, like this is one of the times where it's like I just feel for her because it's this anticlimactic like finish of the episode where it's like, and you don't win the cash.
I don't know if she ever will.
I don't know, unless she does that Shirley Temple bit. I don't know.
I think she needs to just balls to the wall fucking crazy. I think she's trying to be, when it comes to the lip sync, I think she's trying to be something she's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because when she does her, like, clown act, right, it's really funny and she's really good. And when she does some other, like, acts and stuff, she's really funny and really good. But I think when she – do you know what she would have won? Coconuts.
Yes. Coconuts would have been the only one. Like, I realistically can't think of another song. Like, she could have done the bit with the, you know, the breastplate – and really lean into it. I agree with you, Juice. It's like, remember when I was saying at the top of the episode, she's not worried about looking ugly. She's not worried when she's doing her comedy. She's cool to just lean into whatever for the laugh. There's a disconnect when she starts to dance. I think when she dances, then she gets worried about looking a certain way. Because I feel like I'm watching a self-conscious performer, right?
and she's like falling in the heels and she's just kind of hopping around. And it's just like, we need to connect clown Jimbo and big titty woman Jimbo that dances and put them together in a nice little package. Because I feel like she could do a really funny lip sync. Somebody posted a TikTok the other day. Dead serious, looking into the camera, like breaking that fourth wall. And they were like, Jimbo is faking being bad at lip syncing.
I saw this.
It took my whole body not to comment. I love my sister, babe. She's not an act.
It's not an act.
It's not an act. This is genuinely her performing, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think you can see, like, she looks self-conscious when she's doing it. And it's just like, I feel bad because I want her to win the money. I want her to win money.
This TikTok thought they had the RuPaul Da Vinci Code cracked. And it's like,
yeah,
they're waiting till the very end and they're going to do something that we haven't seen. And it's like, I really don't think.
What, do a jump split and a backflip? Like, babe, she's not going to do it, you know?
Okay,
like,
but what if that actually happens?
I would scream. I think I would run out into the street. Do you know when somebody does a magic trick and everybody yells and runs around? That would be me. Jimbo does a backflip into a split. I'd be like, running around.
Alas, that did not happen this week.
No, that did not happen this week. That did not happen this week, yes. So Jasmine wins, but she does not get her moment to send somebody home because Rue announces to us that she will be staying blonde.
Yes.
She is so brave for doing because she announced that her white old lady hair is actually blonde.
That's what I thought. I was like, you're not even blonde right now. You're wearing like white hair, but aside from the fact.
Yeah. Nevertheless. But she announced that no one would be going home.
Yeah. Production said, we really didn't think Heidi was going to leave. So we haven't worked this into the calendar. So let's not eliminate.
No one's going home.
Wee! Kahana was just like, thank the Lord.
Bitch, yes. That was it was one of those moments where I was just like, God, I wish I heard those words before.
I know.
Wouldn't that have been nice?
Yeah, no one's going home. Shantae, you all stay. But yeah, it's interesting. I haven't really been on social media today. Has Heidi been saying anything online as far as the episode coming out?
No, I haven't seen anything from Heidi. I haven't really been on socials today. I've kind of been off and on. We're also recording a lot earlier than we normally do, so usually I have some time to kind of dive into the Twitterverse. See what the kids are saying. See who's getting bullied. But Kahana has been the most active on Twitter, with a lot of people kind of bullying Kahana for what happened.
Kadrama
Montrese. So a lot of people are kind of coming at Kahana saying it's her fault that Heidi left. But you could tell Heidi had decided to leave two episodes ago.
She kind of hinted at one point. She was like, I was about to leave. Like, she already kind of put that out there.
The fact that all of them have decided that day that they were like, today's the day we confront Heidi. That was the straw that broke the camel's back for her. She was just like, no, I'm not going to do this. I've already said I'm going to leave. You guys have now just been like, you've given me my out, you know? So damn. I don't think it's anyone's fault and no one should be bullying them. It's also a fucking TV show, losers. Yeah.
I also loved the acting challenge at the main stage when Michelle act shocked like that Heidi was sent home. Like that was the first time she was ever told.
Oh my God. Oh, and Ross doing the disappointed... I just believed in her so much. Like,
I just wanted you to stay.
You should do Ross Matthews for fucking Snatch Game. Oh my God. Oh my fucking God.
Oh. At first, you didn't know how to ride a bike, and then you took off the training wheels, but then you just rode away. And I said, hey, that's my bike.
If you ever did Ross Matthews for Snatch Game, you have to do him as like a muscle bear.
Like literally.
And it has to be, and you have to have a shirt that says the hilarious top Matthews. with like a leather harness on it.
Yes. Oh my God. It's happening. It has to happen.
Oh my God.
Speaking of what has to happen, we're going to take a quick little ad break. And we'll be right back with some questions from our SQ cuties. And all we're right. back.
And we're back. So we are going to take a question from one of our SQ cuties. This one is from Celine Dijon.
Love her.
Hey, Juice and Synth. It's your homegirl, Celine Dijon from Edmonton. Just wanted to say thank you so much for the video submissions that you both sent me a few weeks ago. It meant a lot, and the receiver really enjoyed them. I just wanted to know, who would you guys cast for a dream versus the world? And yeah, I guess that would be it. From all franchises, of course. And who would host it and who would be the judges? Can't wait to hear your answer and look forward to listening to the rest of your pods. Keep up the amazing work, girls. Bye.
Aw, bye, Celine. We love you. Celine. We can't wait to be in Edmonton. I'm going to be in Edmonton in like a few weeks. So I will see you then. So fun.
We're there together, babe. I'll see you there.
I was going to say, I had a brain fart. I was like, we're there together. Amazing.
We're there together. We're part of the same management company. We have most of our pride together.
Yes. I know. I love it. That means we can record episodes in person, which is even better. Oh, I love it.
We just got that one gig that I can't talk to you about now, but we can talk about after.
Ooh, don't the SQ cuties love secret projects?
Secret projects. Okay. So who would you pick? You tell me yours and then I'll tell you mine.
Okay. I felt like it was really fun to see Jasmine back on our screens. Like, mm-hmm. so she, for me, has to be there. Jasmine Kennedy. Yes. Kennedy. Jasmine Kennedy. Me from Canada. I feel like who else deserves a chance? I feel like someone like a wild card, like OCN. OCN. Like, I would literally.
That'll work.
I feel like she. Under the right like situations, she is just a funny talking head at all mm-hmm. times. Like anytime I'm around her, she makes me laugh. Like we never actually recorded it on camera because I had a meltdown backstage. But when she was sent home, I was like very affected.
Really?
Yes. I was sad to see her go. I think she's like a lovable, funny person. So I feel like justice for OCN. Different franchises. This is where like my names of the queens gets like a little foggy because we just like there's so much talent and then it puts mm-hmm. me on the spot where my brain just freezes and I'm like that one from this thing and that one from this thing, but it's Molly Poppins from Australia.
Love Molly Poppins. Oh my god, yes.
She was so close yet so far, and she used to live in Vancouver, so it'd be fun to have that connection. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I don't know. Who else? Oh, I like...
Just do, like, one more.
Jombers Blonde.
JB Blonde, but we were on the JB Blonde hate train for so long.
Well, choo-choo, bitch. She better choo-choo, turn this bitch. Train around. I love a redemption arc.
Oh, I love.
Right?
Oh, I love. Okay. And who would you want to host it? And then we'll do me.
Oh, to host? RuPaul? Because then that would mean I meet RuPaul?
Babe.
If I'm there. Like, yes. Sorry, selfish answer.
Yeah. Okay, I would say, I agree. I would want RuPaul to host mine, and Michelle would have to be there because, you know, I'm a Michelle stan till I go, you know, till mm-hmm, I die. Mm-hmm. Michelle all the way. And I would say Tainomi Banks, Queen Kong, Beverly Kills. Love Queen Kong and Beverly Kills. Very big fans of those two. Dakota, Black Peppa. Me, obviously. And obviously. And who else? Give me one more UK girly. Oh, and then Bosco, Jasmine, and then one more Cornbread.
Done. That's a good season.
Done. Yeah, I would go home very fast.
I know. No, you wouldn't.
Well, a cast like that, holy shit. Like,
remember, All Stars rules, though. It actually plays in your favor to maybe be a little more of like a dark horse. Like, you get to come in with like if they were to send you home right away, like, they're evil. Like, that would make
sense. Yeah, I was going to say, I think if it was an All Stars rules and I got put on and it was somebody having to send me home, I mm-hmm. think I would play the, like, you can't send me home episode.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's fucked up, you know? Like, that's fucked up.
Yeah. You're like, I just unpacked and I didn't get to do that last time.
Yeah. Like, give me two episodes. Just two.
Just two.
Two. Send me home next week. Two. Just all I want.
Please.
Please, God.
your reasoning with the queens would be the funniest thing to watch.
Oh, I think I would go from like soft, gentle juice to just like full frat bro, like legs widespread, like like look at me. Look at me.
Look at me. Look at me.
Look at me. Look at me. What's that from?
Kath and Kim.
Oh yeah, look at me.
Yes.
Look at me. All right.
But yeah, those sound like fun seasons.
Thank you. I did the Snatch Game thing to you as I let you talk first so I could make my cast in my head while you chatted.
Very smart.
Thank
Great
you.
Great strategy.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, SQ Cuties, that wraps yet another episode of All Stars 8. Who will win? Nobody knows. If you want to follow us on social media, we're on Instagram at semiqualifiedqueenspod, on Twitter at SQQpod using the hashtag semiqualifiedquestions, or send us an email at semiqualifiedqueenspod@gmail.com.
Or if you want to be a part of the conversation, just go to speakpipe.com/SQQpod. That's speakpipe.com/SQQpod. We love voice notes, so we always try to prioritize them, but we've got a lot of things in our inbox just in case. But if you want to have your voice heard on the pod and have us have a little conversation with you, please send us a voice note. We are going to be back next week with a little bit more of All Stars 8. Apparently, we're going to see Jimbo win again. Who knows? You know?
Oh my God. I
imagine. Yeah.
I can at this point.
I can too.
All right. Yeah, until
we'll see
next
you guys
time.
Next week. Happy Pride.
Happy Pride. Bam. Gay Pride.
Uh oh.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar! My hotel room is so hot.